19 pro-Palestinian protesters were arrested during a Universities of Wisconsin Board of Regents meeting. It's Friday, December 6th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Thanks for being with us on this Friday. Coming up on the show today, a proposed permit change to protect rare cave bats could restrict wind projects in Wisconsin. And parts of the controversial Law Act 10 were overturned this week. Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson will help explain more on what could happen next. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Doug Gordon, host of Beta. Beta is pioneering.
Whether or not you consume a piece of art doesn't make you a good or bad person. You're going to have to find some other way to accomplish that.
And provocative.
I get to play all those things in Better Call Saul. I'm extremely lucky.
And always playful.
The fact that you know the footnotes to the footnotes to the footnotes.
Saturdays at 11 and Sundays at 10 on WPR News.
Pro-Palestinian activist disrupted a University's of Wisconsin Board of Regents meeting yesterday, and as Anya Van Wagtendonk reports, arrests were made.
The board was discussing finances in a room flanked by protesters. The activists were silent, many holding signs and Palestinian flags. Then one spoke up.
The Board of Regents is in violation of UW law. In addition, they refused to...
As he continued to talk, a regent called for the room to be cleared. Protesters chanted as they were removed.
Time to go, let's go.
19 were arrested. According to a UW police spokesperson, none were cited. The protesters were calling attention to students facing discipline for their participation in the pro-Palestinian tent protests last spring. And they're calling on UW to divest from pro-Israel companies. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A federal bill to keep protection of taxpayer-funded inventions in America passed the U.S. Senate this week. The Invent Here, Make Here Act was sponsored by U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin and co-sponsored by Vice President-elect J.D. Vance. Baldwin's office says the bill ensures that federally funded innovations are manufactured in the United States and not in adversarial countries. The legislation tightens restrictions on waivers that allow those products to get built overseas. Scott Paul is president of the nonprofit Alliance for American Manufacturing.
There are a couple of must-pass bills that the Congress has to get to between now and the end of the year. And so this makes perfect sense because it's about American manufacturing.
The clock is ticking, however, to get the bill passed in the House of Representatives. If it's not passed by January, it would have to be reintroduced next session. The CEO of Wisconsin-based company Fiserv, Inc. has been tapped to head the Social Security Administration by President-elect Donald Trump. In a post to his social media site, Truth Social, Trump nominated Frank Bisignano as his pick to lead the nation's social insurance program. Trump lauded Bisignano as having a long track record of transforming large corporations. Fiserv is a global payment and financial technology company based in Milwaukee. Bisignano has been CEO since 2020. Before that, he was CEO of mortgage banking at JP Morgan Chase. In a statement, Bisignano called his appointment an honor and said that he looks forward to using his experience to transform the nation's Social Security system. Federal election data show he donated more than $125,000 to Trump's 2020 campaign, though he donated to former Republican New Jersey Governor Chris Christie's campaign last year. Wind projects in the state of Wisconsin would face restrictions under proposed permit changes to protect rare cave bats. As Danielle Kading reports, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources began requiring certain projects to protect bats about a decade ago.
The DNR required protection of four bat species that are state or federally endangered due to white nose syndrome. The deadly fungal disease looks like white fuzz on the nose of bats. It's killed more than 90% of northern long-eared, little brown, and tricolored bat populations. So far, wind projects have been exempt from protecting bats. The DNR's Stacy Rowe says they're updating permits because research shows curtailing turbines or adjusting their speeds are effective at reducing bat deaths.
That's why we're taking a harder look at this and trying to make sure that we can come up with a good middle ground that'll continue to support clean energy while protecting those bat species.
Research estimates up to nearly 1 million bats are killed each year by wind projects. Utilities that own wind turbines say they're reviewing the changes. Daniel Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up here on the show, ever since it was first introduced in 2011, the collective bargaining law known as Act 10 has been controversial. Now in 2024, 13 years later, a Dane County judge has overturned parts of Act 10. The fallout from the decision is still being determined right now, but it's reviving arguments that began when the law was first introduced. WPR's Capital Bureau Chief Sean Johnson will help us figure out what the future of Act 10 could be. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Steve Inskeep. When you roll out of bed, bleary-eyed and groggy, if you're like me, the first thing on your mind is getting something to wake you up. So turn on the radio. NPR's daily news program, Morning Edition, has been working through the night to get you the news you need. It's as essential to your morning as a good cup of coffee. So hit the ground running by listening to Morning Edition from NPR News.
Weekday mornings from 5 to 9 on Wisconsin Public Radio.
In 2011, a GOP sweep of Wisconsin state government led to the quick passage of Act 10. The law severely limited collective bargaining for teachers and most other public workers across the state. Since its enactment, supporters say the law saved the state and local government school districts money, but opponents say that was all at the expense of workers. Earlier this week, a Dane County judge overturned much of Act 10, and Republicans are promising to appeal the ruling. And the remaining public sector unions are hopeful the change can stick. Joining us now to discuss all of this is WPR Capital Bureau Chief Sean Johnson. Sean, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Alex. Thanks for having me.
All right. So take us back to 2011. Remind us exactly the context in which state government existed at the time, how this law was passed, and how it was received at the time.
Well, you referenced that Republican takeover of state government, and it was just a very dramatic takeover. You went from all Democratic control of state government, the governor's office, the assembly, and the Senate, to all Republican control. And they were led by Republican Governor Scott Walker, who had run on the promise of an austerity budget. He ran on promising to make public workers contribute more to their health insurance and their pensions. What he didn't run on was talking about basically ending the power of public sector unions to negotiate. And so when he introduced that, it was a real shock to the system. I think unions saw what they were up against right away. And you saw massive protests at the Capitol. Tens of thousands of people would gather regularly for about a month. And it was one of the most tumultuous times in state government history.
So the law has been around for 13 years, and this is not the first time that this has actually been challenged in court. So I'm wondering what the difference is now between those previous suits and why this one might actually have a chance of surviving.
Yeah, it was actually upheld twice in 2014, in state court and in federal court. The federal court decision was handed down by the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago. It was decided on federal issues, like whether it violated the U.S. Constitution's Equal Protection Clause, and the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals said, you know, that it did not, and it upheld the law. In state court, it was upheld by a then-conservative majority on the state Supreme Court, and essentially that majority said that public sector unions are a creation of the state, a creation of the legislature, and they can be taken away. That case was brought by a different group of unions than the current case, and it was a more broad challenge. This case is really focused on whether Act 10 creates employees that have similar responsibilities, like police officers and firefighters on one hand, and conservation wardens and corrections officers on the other hand. They have very similar public safety goals, but the police and firefighters have union rights. The conservation wardens and the corrections officers don't. This lawsuit says that violates the state constitution, and a Dane County judge agreed.
So this ruling was handed down, and what exactly does that mean now? Can public sector unions immediately start bargaining over their wages again, or is it a bit more complicated than that?
It's already been appealed by Republicans who run the state legislature, and so I think there's a good chance that we have to wait for that court battle to play out first. I think for public sector unions, there would be the matter of rebuilding first. One of the things that Act 10 did was made it harder for them to exist, made it harder for them to collect dues. It made it harder for them to recertify. So it's not like they're just waiting there to go back to the table. And I think there is a good chance that whatever happens will await this appeal. Right now, it's before a state appeals court, but it could head, and it will likely head, to the state Supreme Court, which has the final say.
What about for where things go from here, Sean? What are options now for Republicans? If this thing is exactly, like you said, going to be headed to the state Supreme Court, what happens from there?
It's a good question. Right now, we do have a liberal majority on the state Supreme Court. In fact, Justice Janet Protasiewicz, who flipped the court in 2023, talked about how she thought that the dissent in the Act 10 case 10 years ago got it right. So if it were heard by this court, there's a chance that the lower court ruling would be upheld and Act 10 would be struck down. But there is an election in April that will again decide the ideological balance of the court. So you can expect that this Act 10 issue will be front and center in that race.
Sean Johnson, he is our Capitol Bureau Chief here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Alex.
And that'll do it for this Friday. Hey, one quick note, the Green Bay Packers ended up falling in a thrilling game to the Detroit Lions last night, 34-31 the final. The Lions now 12-1 on the year. The Packers are 9-4 on the season. The next game coming up for the Packers will be Sunday, December 15th against the Seattle Seahawks. Our thanks to John Davis and Mallory Chang. Each and every weekday, they help you bring us the show here, Wisconsin Today Morning News. And thanks to you for listening. You can leave us a rating and review on your favorite podcast app or send us your feedback. Email us at newscasts@wpr.org. Have a great rest of your day and a fantastic weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.